You're listening to Montana Talks, bringing truth and freedom to Montana. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
All right. Hey, we got a big show for you here this morning. Friday morning, of course, a big thanks to John Jackson, the Joker from X, for covering down back here in the studio while I was set up at the Governor's Cup golf tournament with the Montana Chamber of Commerce. I was set up in Columbia Falls on Friday morning, and so it was big help having John here in studio because, you know, it's kind of a, you know, everybody is getting ready to go golfing. Everybody's mingling with all their friends that are there from across the state, other business leaders, etc. And so if I was sitting there, you know, talking to you live on the radio, it'd be a little hard for me to go chat with some of the folks that were there for the Chamber of Commerce event, and then also line up some interviews as well. So especially since I was there just kind of one man banding it, if we had had our producer Caden with us, we could have done a lot more, but he had to be back here manning the fort, unfortunately. So anyway, but big thanks to John for covering down back here so that I could go out and chat with folks and line up some interviews, etc. One of the coolest things that happened right after, well, actually, the show was probably still on the air here. You know, I was sending some interviews back to John, so you guys could hear some of my conversations on Friday morning show. But we of course, got way more content from Friday morning while being set up at the Governor's Cup that we're going to share with you here later today. One of the coolest things was I got a note from our friends with KJJR Radio, our radio affiliate in Kalispell. And Matt said, hey, Riggs Johnston is back home in Montana. Riggs Johnston is the pro golfer from Libby, Montana, 25 years old, pro golfer from Libby, Montana. And he was back home in Libby, and he was doing some radio call-ins with the Kalispell stations on Friday morning. And so thankfully they shared his contact info with me. And I sent him a note, and I just assumed he was already in Kalispell. So I said, hey, come on down and join me at Meadow Lake Golf Course, and apparently he was driving to Kalispell anyway. So yeah, pro golfer, Libby, Montana's own Riggs Johnston popped in to see us, and had a great chat with him. Did a full interview. We're going to share that later on in the 9 o'clock hour of this morning. Of course, so our friends in the Flathead and elsewhere across the state get a chance to hear that as well. And then some other great folks drove over from Libby as well. I had a great guest on the program with an organization called Love Inc. Love in the Name of Christ. They've got a big chapter in Billings, big chapter in Bozeman, big chapter in Lewistown already and elsewhere across Montana, but they more recently opened up a Love Inc. of South Lincoln County chapter. And what a great conversation, not just talking about what Love Inc. is doing on the ground in Lincoln County, Montana, but also about the economy and the importance of revitalizing our timber industry and how important mining jobs are as well to people that are struggling right now. So great conversation that's going to come up here later this morning in the 9 o'clock hour of the show. That and much more. Plus, I caught up with the Flathead County Commissioner and the fair manager talking about the Northwest Montana Fair that's right around the corner as well. All right, we got to get to the big news, the tragedy in Anaconda. Attorney General Austin Knutson will join us in the 7 o'clock hour of the show. You just probably heard the news update at the top of the Fox News update about the shooting in Anaconda. So we'll start there right after this.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With a mix of clouds and sunshine today, we'll see a few afternoon showers and storms developing around the area. Highs around 83 in Bozeman to 93 in the Billings vicinity. For tonight, isolated showers and storms around mainly before midnight. Temperatures will then drop off into the upper 40s around 50 in Bozeman to around 60 in Billings. Skies turn partly to mostly sunny Tuesday. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm Paul Trombley.
Securing America.
This past week marked 80 years since the worst disaster at sea in the history of the U.S. Navy. 880 sailors and Marines lost their lives after the heavy cruiser USS Indianapolis was hit by torpedoes from a Japanese submarine in the Philippine Sea just after midnight on July 30th, 1945. About 300 died within minutes. Many more died over the next several days from wounds suffered in the attack, dehydration, and shark attacks in the ocean. The Navy originally had no idea. No distress call was sent because the initial Japanese attack knocked out the Indianapolis's power and radios in the ship's control room. Survivors were eventually spotted in the ocean by an Air Force plane. Only 316 survived, with the last being pulled from the water on August 3rd, 1945. Kevin Uetsky, Fox News.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
So- Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, so yeah, as I mentioned, Attorney General Austin Knutson will join us later on in the 7 o'clock hour of the show this morning to give us the latest on the manhunt for the shooter in Anaconda. There was one headline from the Montana Standard: manhunt for Anaconda shooter continues into Sunday evening. And then, let's see, the Montana Television Network had this headline: family of Anaconda shooting suspect shares his mental health struggles. Here we go. Let's see, Fox News Radio also covering this story on through Sunday evening. The victims of the deadly shooting at a bar in Anaconda have now been identified as law enforcement continues to search for the gunman. Here is Gurnall Scott with Fox News Radio.
Montana Attorney General Austin Knutson said three patrons of the Owl Bar in Anaconda, David Leach, Daniel Bailey, and Tony Palm, as well as the bartender Nancy Kelly, were shot and killed. He said the suspected gunman, Michael Paul Brown, seen unclothed in a surveillance photo, is still not in custody and may have access to clothes and a car.
The vehicle he ended up grabbing was loaded full of equipment. It was not his vehicle. It was a stolen vehicle, but there was camping equipment in it. We believe there was some clothing in it.
Brown's family said the Army veteran struggled for years with mental illness. He's considered dangerous. Events in the area have been canceled as the search goes on. Gurnall Scott, Fox News.
Yeah, and more reporting from Fox News Radio here as well. This shooting at the Owl Bar in Anaconda, of course, took the lives of four people. Jill Rolls is a bartender at the JFK Bar next door. Says she knew the family of the suspect, Michael Brown, who said he desperately needed help for his mental condition. Here you go. This audio provided by Fox News Radio.
I work with one of his siblings, and I've spoke to her over the years of working with her, how she's tried to help him.
So saying that he desperately needed help, and apparently they tried to get help for him, even tried to get him, put in a facility so that he was not a danger to others. Let's see, that same bartender at the JFK bar, Jill Rolls, also said, of course, she knew one of the victims well and said that she always went out of her way to be kind.
Everybody in town loved her. Her parents owned a bar back years ago, I think. I'm not originally from here. I think it closed like in the 80s, but everybody loved her. She was very, very loved. She would carry bones with her in her purse as she would walk around town, and dogs would go up running to her, and she'd give everybody, all the dogs, their bones, and she was just a great lady.
All right, Fox News Radio with that coverage. I have a press release here, the latest press release from the governor's office, and if anything else is new has transpired. By the way, if there's law enforcement listening or other first responders that have important information to put out, hey, our studio phone lines are 406-294-0970. So if you have some breaking news or information or more to add, give us a call. You can also message us on the Montana Talks app as well, especially since this manhunt is still underway. But we'll get the latest update from the AG later on in the 7 o'clock hour. Yeah, this happened Friday around 10:30 in the morning. The 45-year-old Michael Brown walked into the Owl Bar and opened fire, killing four people before fleeing the scene. He remains at large. Attorney General Austin Knutson visited the Incident Command Center for a briefing and to show his support and thank the dozens of local, state, and federal law enforcement officers for their efforts as they continue to search for the suspect. Anaconda Deer Lodge Police Chief Bill Sather, Montana Division of Criminal Investigation Administrator Lee Johnson, Montana Highway Patrol Colonel Kurt Sager, Deer Lodge County Attorney Morgan Smith, and Acting Assistant Special Agent in Charge Michael Montoya with the FBI, also joining Attorney General Knutson at that press conference on Sunday. And by the way, the full video of that press conference, you can find that on Facebook and other social media sites put out by the Attorney General's office. The U.S. Marshals Service offering a reward of $7,500 for any information that leads to the arrest or capture of Michael Brown. Citizens are encouraged to call this number to report a tip, 877-926-8332. Again, that's 877-926-8332. And if you missed that number and you want to know what it is, if you didn't copy it down, well, I just mentioned it there. I know all of the Attorney General's press releases are on the Montana DOJ website, so you should be able to go there and find it as well. Or, of course, just call local law enforcement also. Photos. We do have a photo of the suspect on our Montana Talks website as well as the latest news. Let me see what Dennis Bragg included. I know we're going to have Dennis Bragg's news report coming up in the 9:35 break, but you can see a photo of the suspect. They have a surveillance camera photo of the suspect, and it's just a crazy-looking photo. He's basically... he's unclothed. He's walking around. He looks very, very skinny. He's unshaven. There's some photos of him where he has a beard. He's kind of, you know, just got some scruff in this photo. He is shoeless, no socks, just basically walked out of there with just his boxers on. So you don't even see him wearing any clothes nor carrying a gun whatsoever. Massive task force continuing efforts to find this suspect, Michael Brown, who has been on the run since Friday morning. And as you heard in that Fox News Radio report, the vehicle that he stole did contain clothing and camping gear. So especially if you're out there in the outdoors, be on the lookout, be on the watch as well. All right, yeah, full report, MontanaTalks.com, and we're going to hear more from Dennis Bragg coming up in the 6:35 break this morning as well, and then Attorney General Knutson live at 7:40 this morning.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries delivered the longest speech in House history early last month. He began speaking at 4:52 a.m. Eastern on July 3rd against the GOP's Big Beautiful Bill. Jeffries established a new record for the longest speech, 8 hours and 45 minutes, just before 2 the same afternoon. Quote, "Donald Trump's deadline may be Independence Day," said Jeffries. "That ain't my deadline." Former House Speaker Kevin McCarthy set the old record in 2021. McCarthy spoke for 8 hours and 33 minutes when he was the minority leader. When it comes to length, McCarthy's oratory topped a speech by former Speaker Nancy Pelosi on firearms when she was the minority leader in 2018. Debate time in the House of Representatives is typically limited to a minute, but it's a custom in the House to yield to top leaders for a longer period of time. This is called the magic minute. Jeffries only spoke for 15 minutes in opposition to the recent spending cut bill. When pressed by reporters about how much time he would consume, Jeffries said he was surprised at the question. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Man, this is a crazy story out of Bozeman, Montana, although not that crazy when you think about how crazy the left-wing politics is there. A female firefighter and medic for the city of Bozeman lost her baby during an ectopic pregnancy, and the city of Bozeman refused to grant her bereavement leave. And when she told them more about her story, they made the policy even worse. Check out that full audio on the Montana Talks podcast on Spotify or on the app.
A message from FireSafe Montana. It has been indicated that Montana is headed towards a significant wildland fire season. Now is the time for you and your community to begin your fuel mitigation efforts. Neighborhood meetings, fuel mitigation around your property, planning escape routes, practicing the route. Right now is the time for action. Your local emergency management agency can be contacted for more information. This message brought to you by FireSafe Montana and aired by the Montana Broadcasters Association.
Hi, good morning, everybody. It's time for your Daybreak Ag Report. I'm Russell Nimitz, and thanks for being with us here on the Western Ag Network. Well, in a win for Western ranchers, the U.S. Senate last week confirmed Wyoming's Brian Nesbitt as the new U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service director. And during a floor speech, Wyoming Senator John Barrasso on Friday praised Nesbitt for his work as Wyoming Game and Fish Director and said that he'll return sound science to an agency overrun by politics.
The people of Wyoming know Brian very well, and they know him as a fierce advocate for Wyoming. He is the definition of qualified, and he is one of the very best of Wyoming. He has been the director of the Wyoming Game and Fish Department since 2019. Prior to that, he served in the Wyoming Army National Guard since 1986. Brigadier General, Bronze Star recipient. As the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Director, Brian's going to play a critical role in conserving our natural resources. He's going to take the reins at a time when politics, not science, have too often driven decisions by the agency.
And no question, one of the biggest to-do list items for Nesbitt and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service will be to work with Congress to remove grizzly bears from the federal endangered species list and turn management over to states like Idaho, Montana, and Wyoming, who proponents say have proven with wolves that state management is better for the species and people than federal management. Stay with us for more Ag News right after this.
Hi, this is Joe Goggins from the Western Livestock Auction in Great Falls, Montana. As a livestock auction market owner and member of LMA, I believe it's time for our industry to align and drive meaningful changes that will safeguard a future for ranchers. I am asking all who are hearing this to sign on to this effort as we work to achieve and maintain egg-friendly tax policy, improve risk management tools, access to labor, flexibility for livestock haulers, and create support for young and emerging livestock producers. Now is the time. Learn more and sign on at thecommongroundsummit.net.
Good news, beef producers. Consumers' opinions and preferences on beef are becoming more transparent month after month. Your checkoff dollar supports state-of-the-art research that taps into thousands of consumers' eating habits every month to track modern trends in meat demand and other proteins. With this knowledge, the Beef Checkoff can invest your dollars more wisely in future projects, empower the industry, and strengthen beef's place in the market. Get the full story at yourdollardoes.com. Funded by the Beef Checkoff.
Well, uncertainty from trade tariffs continues to weigh on U.S. grain prices, hitting soybean prices the hardest, followed by wheat and corn. And it's causing a lot of countries to take a step back and reevaluate, either to look at getting more negotiations done on trade deals or even look at other routes to meet their needs. Last week, President Trump signed an executive order that updated reciprocal tariffs for some countries that'll go into effect August 7th and increased tariffs immediately for other countries like Canada. And finally this morning, registrations open for the Public Lands Council's 57th annual meeting headed for Flagstaff, Arizona, September 16th through the 18th. PLC President and Colorado rancher Tim Canterbury says that being involved in the conversation is still the single best way to protect Western livestock production in our way of life. However, early bird registration closes August 15th, so make plans to join the PLC in the Grand Canyon State next month and get those registrations in by visiting publiclandscouncil.org. For the Western Ag Network, I'm Russell Nimitz.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Hey, speaking of the Farm and Ranch Report, a great to see Tom Opry in studio here. Wow, got a couple of books in hand now as well. Yeah, I was driving back from the Governor's Cup last night, and, you know, long drive, but I thought, you know what, I got to go watch the real Yellowstone. I got to go watch this film because I've been meaning to watch it on my computer, but I didn't want to watch something like this on a computer. I wanted to see it on the big screen. And better yet, I wanted to see it with our fellow Montana friends as well, to kind of see and hear reactions to the whole film. Anyway, Tom Opry, great to see you here in studio. Thanks for getting up early with us here this morning.
Well, it's normal for me. I mean, 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, head out in the woods.
That's right.
Montana when the sun rises.
You got coffee? It's just like a hunting trip. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Except I'm on a high rise here in downtown Billings.
I know you were like, how do I find your studio? And I'm like, it's probably the easiest studio to find. Just look for one of the tallest buildings in downtown Billings and go to the top floor, and here we are. So, it was really cool watching the film with a room full of, you could tell there were, you know, I could see some of the faces in there, real Montana ranchers and just local business folks and people who know how important agriculture is to our economy.
Yeah, you know, we had a great outpouring of support last night. People coming from as much as 100 miles away, ranchers, farmers, sportsmen and women. Had some great people here helping us out. Obviously, some folks we all know, guys like Taylor Brown and other folks that are definitely tied to the ag industry here in Montana. And the support was just unbelievable. But, you know, that's been the case of this. This film has really struck a chord with our rural communities, with our sportsmen and women. It's giving them a voice when they never had one before. And that's our goal with this, is to take it worldwide and really educate urban people about what the realities are on the ground when it comes to land stewardship and conservation. I mean, that's a huge deal.
Yeah, and hats off to Taylor Brown for putting on this screening, because I know when you and I were first talking about this film, you were like, hey, where could we do a screening at? And I was like, well, we got these international film festival people, so hats off to him for lining up that Lockwood Auditorium. What a great facility they've got out there at Lockwood High School. But you know, I was thinking about this in terms of, you know, watching the film last night and seeing the fact that it was a lot of folks that are connected to agriculture that were in the room last night. I was partly thinking, you know what, this isn't the audience for this film. But I think a lot of them really appreciated it. I know they probably got angry at parts of the film, just like I did. When I'd see that Montana Wildlife Federation guy on this show, I'm like, oh, give me a break. That guy's a Democrat front group. Here this guy is, well, I was the interagency grizzly coordinator for blah, blah, blah. It's like, you know what? Go pound sand, man. If you had any credibility when it comes to grizzlies, you would be urging the delisting of the grizzlies from the endangered species list right now. So I'm sure they got angry at parts of it too. But again, your audience is probably not the Montana rancher. It's the people who need to hear the Montana rancher's side of the story that's finally being told in a balanced perspective, I think, here. Let's see. I think we're going to skip the Fox News update, but I'll see if Caden's going to... Yeah, he's going to pause it for us. Okay, good. I'm skipping the Fox News update so we can chat with you more.
Yeah. Absolutely. But here's the difference. And it gives us that platform. That's what these films do. And you mentioned something about making sure you have a balanced approach. I'm a journalist. I'm very, very much about making sure that the essence of journalism, the true journalism, where you allow multiple viewpoints and you let your viewer or your reader make a decision, that's critical here. Because if you're not, you're creating propaganda.
And that's what we never see in the so-called, from the other so-called journalists, from the so-called news organizations. Look, I do commentary. I give my opinions here. So I'm all about going to bat and going after, you know, the American Prairie Reserve, because, you know, I first heard about folks like this in the 1980s from my friend who, you know, grew up on a ranch, and they knew the threat that was coming because you could see it in some of the woke universities back on the East Coast and what they had envisioned for Montana. But there was a woman who spoke on a panel discussion after the film showing at Lockwood last night, who says what she really appreciated was finally, their side of the story got told, but also not only that, but finally a balanced story that actually showed all the sides. Because you even see new so-called news publications here in Montana that they will go out and they will do puff piece after puff piece after puff piece promoting the American Prairie Reserve, promoting the APR, and they never tell the ranchers' side of the story, even though the ranchers are the backbone of their economy that prop up these so-called news organizations here.
Well, their customers too, right? I mean, let's face it. These are the people who are going in the implement stores, are going into the grocery stores, are going into the banks. And so you would think that these people would figure this out. But, you know, the reality, folks, is if we don't have that balanced approach, then, again, like you said, we're kind of in this world where everything is really hardcore one way or the other. Well, as Montanans, we normally don't fare well that way. We do pretty good sitting across from the table and talking to each other. And that's one of the great things about Montanans, because, I mean, we're genuine, honest people. We care about the land. We care about the resources that are here, and we care about each other. It's about community. And that's so critically important here, that these people have that opportunity to have a voice. Because, you know, in this world with social media and all the things that are going on, our rural people don't have a voice. And even if they try to have one, it gets drowned out by the urban masses. You know, it's numbers. And then, of course, we see it politically too, right? Do these people in these rural areas have representation? No, Montana is not a rural state anymore. I mean, folks, the majority of the people live in cities and towns. They're urban. And their viewpoints on policy, on laws, down in Helena, is very urbanized and very different than what the reality is many times out in the countryside.
One part that I hope is the point that sinks in more than any other point to that urban demographic, if that's what you want to call it, or to the sportsman demographic, is that, I think, was it the woman who was the first ever woman outfitter, got her first ever woman's outfitter license?
Donna McDonald.
Well, I think it was her, or maybe it was a woman rancher who said that the best point about ranchers and wildlife working well together is that what the ranchers do, what these private landowner ranchers and farmers do, is actually improve the wildlife habitat. Hold that thought. Tom Opry, a filmmaker out of the Flathead Valley, who is here in studio with us because he heads to Circle, Montana later today.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Yeah, great to have Tom Opry in the house. 7 p.m. tonight in Circle. Tom, you're going to be in Circle. We better get that one out here first. Where are you going to be in Circle tonight so that our listeners, because this, we got a big signal in the Billings area that pushes out into eastern Montana, listeners on the app as well.
Well, Circle, Montana, my friend. Don't blink.
Yeah,
sorry,
yeah.
Guys, it's a small place. But
if you just
Circle
drive
Cinema,
the Circle, you'll figure out where everybody's at. Look for all the pickups, and that's probably where the film screen is going to be at 7 o'clock.
We're going to be in Circle, Montana tonight, 7 o'clock. If you go to shepherdsofwildlife.org and click on the film tour, you'll see all the locations. We've got a ton of locations coming up here in Montana. We've already done the High Line. We did Lewistown. By the way, Lewistown was off the hook.
Filled one theater, 200 people, and then you had to set up your own makeshift theater to get
more
people.
We actually had a second theater there.
We had a second theater, a second screen.
And so, but, you know, I the county commissioner, Ross Butcher, goes, hey, you need to go outside. I'm literally separating couples to get into individual seats because we're full, 200 seat theater. And I walk out and the entire lobby was full. I walked out the door and there was a line all the way down to the next block. I mean, these people wanted to watch the film, and it was really awesome. And luckily, we were able to open up a second screening, so we ended up having about 300 folks there.
Well, Tom, you're in the Montana Talk studio, so you've got your camera on. Pan it over here, because you can see where I stand on this. I've got the Save the Cowboys, Stop American Prairie Reserve sign in here, because we know how important these ranchers are, not just to Montana culture, not just to Montana's economy, not just to our schools. You know, we wouldn't have those buses full of school kids crisscrossing the state if there's no schools to begin with, and the farmers and ranchers are the lifeblood of these small towns all across central and eastern Montana and big parts of western Montana, too, that often gets ignored. And so I thought one of the most important points was made, I think it was by the first ever licensed woman outfitter in Montana, where she talked about how important ranchers are to wildlife. I tagged along with I didn't have a special antelope tag, so I tagged along with my father-in-law, one of his buddies from Missoula, on an antelope hunt, and it was just kind of funny tagging along because I couldn't hunt, so I could just tag along and just kind of listen in. And it was interesting because you could see the difference between the private land and the public land, and you could tell how much better managed the private land was compared to the public land. And I hope that that's the point of this film, that's, that sticks out to the sportsmen and women that live in the bigger cities, that live in the bigger towns, that love to hunt, but may not understand how important these ranchers are?
You know, you're hitting the nail on the head, right? I mean, we're concerned about the future of our land, future of wildlife, and all these wonderful resources. And a big reason why a lot of us live here in Montana, right? And what I was able to witness, the folks like the Hibbard family, Stephen Livestock Company, the Wickens, up Wickens Cattle in Winifred, even Dale Vieseth just south of Malta, he's moving his cattle 175 times a year. It's this kind of what we quote unquote regenerative ranching kind of concept, but trying to mimic what bison did, because all this ground, all this prairie ground evolved over many, many years with pretty intense grazing. And of course, you know, that's changed over time, but of course we have our own cattle industry that's kind of replacing that bison. And that land needs that kind of grazing and that kind of impact down there and burning and whatever, because that's just what's been going on, and it's how it's evolved. And when you do that, you end up with much healthier landscapes. And with that, that benefits wildlife. So if you're a sportsman, you know, you want to see more wildlife on the landscape. And so when these people are doing that type of management, the wildlife, I mean, well, as you watched in the film, you end up with some unintended consequences, too, some pretty serious conflict. But at the end of the day, though, we end up definitely with much better ecosystems, much better habitat. And it's better also for the ranchers because they're making more money. I mean, it's kind of a win-win. It's kind of a no-brainer. And, you know, it's just fascinating to see these folks being really proactive on the ground. And it's your next generation of multi-generational ranchers. Now, Cooper Hibbard, you know, he's coming on. The family's been there for 150 years. And so it's really, really fascinating and really rewarding to see these people and that connectivity they have to their land, because it's so important to them.
Yeah, you guys have heard me talk about this film, The Real Yellowstone, since Tom Opry first announced it. And even see, you only had one screening set up in Bozeman at the time, and then it's quickly led to a statewide tour. But I even go back, what was it, 3-4 years ago at the SHOT Show in Las Vegas when we were talking to you? I think SCI was down in Vegas at the same time. And you were telling me about this whole concept, how you wanted to create a film that actually talks about the real battles facing ranchers. There was one. You also had a bison rancher that you featured on the film. And I thought it was interesting because you wanted to show a bison actually being harvested, actually being, you know, shot and killed, and show people how they get their food. And so you interviewed one of his customers who had never seen an animal be killed before in the whole food production process, right? And it was funny because it was a woman who had never seen an animal get shot before, and my initial reaction was to kind of laugh, because, you know, she was like petting it and like, oh, and, you know, was like, so it, but then on the other hand, it's like, you know what, these ranchers also have a very close connection to the animals that they raise and then slaughter to feed people and to feed the population and the planet. So my initial reaction was to kind of laugh at that moment, because it's like, you've never been hunting, you've never, where do you think food comes from? But it's like, no, there's a closeness there. There's a respect there for the livestock and for the wildlife.
Yeah, it was incredible. So you're talking about Matt Skoglund, North Bridger Bison out of Wilsaw. And Matt was a disillusioned environmental attorney, but he had this affinity for bison, and he wanted to be closer to the land, and he wanted to do something what he thought would, you know, the outcomes would be positive. And so he's really done a really just a phenomenal job with North Bridger Bison. And he said, you know, I'd really like you to document a harvest, you know, killing of an animal. Okay, and a lot of people, like our target audience is this urban population, you know, they don't understand where their food comes from. They don't, you know, I mean, I think there was a survey right before COVID where they asked the kids in the public school system of Chicago in high school, you know, where does your burger come from? And 50% of the kids didn't know it came from an animal. 50%, folks. You know, they think it comes from a cellophane wrapper at the grocery store. They don't realize there's an animal involved in the process. And I do these film festivals, and of course everybody's like, oh, okay, well, I see, you know, we have to have modern conservation. Well, it's hunting is the main tool for it. And people are like, well, okay, I guess we understand you have to shoot some animals here and there. And I'm like, well, yeah, that's how it works. And okay, raise your hand if you ever bought a McDonald's Happy Meal. Well, everybody raises their hand. I say, well, let me explain something to you. There's nothing happy about a Happy Meal, okay? There's nothing happy about a Happy Meal. I don't care if you got the cheeseburger or the chicken nuggets. You paid somebody.
The toy? What about?
Yeah, that's a little plastic toy from China. At the end of the day, you paid someone to raise and slaughter an animal to feed your kid. And that's okay, because without the deaths of over 60 billion land-based animals and 1.4 trillion water-based animals, that's UN data, annually, my friend, humanity ceases to exist. What happened during COVID when there was nothing on the grocery store shelves? Chaos. Okay, so it's okay. All right, and what I really wanted to show with Matt Skoglund's operation, he's like, hey, I want you to show this harvest. And I said, well, I want to get somebody here who's never seen an animal killed for food. And so he brings out this gal who's a psychologist who runs a self-help deal for women dealing with postpartum depression. And part of that whole scheme is to have nutrient-rich food. Bison fits that. Wild game would do that. Grass-fed beef. So her choice was to go out there and buy bison from Matt. And we mic'd her up. And, of course, when you know, it took a long time to kind of get positioned. I'm on the back of his flatbed truck with a camera, and he make sure everything's calm. And, you know, because, you know, he shoots, you know, probably a couple every week or so, depending on how sales are going, time of year. And he's got to be a very specific, you know, young two-year-old bull, and he's got 15 yards, and he shoots it between the eyes. And, I mean, boom, instant death, yeah. Very clean. Yeah. And then, you know, when it happened, we had a cameraman in the truck on this gal. And, I mean, you could just almost see the start of a tear there. And you know, and it was so important to me to be able to get somebody like that. Because, you remember, our target audience, that's city folk.
Yeah,
you know,
it's people like her to understand
absolutely. Why
ranching matters. And why ranching is actually helpful to wildlife habitat, because there's a lot of bougie, you know, left-wing groups, these green decoys, as we've called them, that are environmental activists that now are pretending to be the voice for sportsmen and women, and they just want to bash ranchers, and they want to bash private land ownership, and at the same time, they're mismanaging our federal lands. They're mismanaging public lands to make it worse for wildlife habitat, and then hunters wonder why all the wildlife's hanging out on the private land.
Well, I mean, it's worse than that. You have these organizations, and I'm not naming names, but at the end of the day, you've got people out there that their agenda is not about what's best for the land or best for the wildlife or what's best for the people, those real people live on the land. You know, let's take it. For instance, we know here historically sportsmen are conservatives. You know, 80% of them historically do that.
And on almost every issue across the board.
100%. Yep. So at the end of the day, though, only 4% of the U.S. population buys a hunting license in any given year. Now, Montana, we're a little better. I mean, we're at 17%, somewhere in that. 10 years ago, we were at 24, 25%. So, you know, we're seeing a change.
That number's dropping significantly.
But absolutely.
And so sportsmen and women, you lose connection with the rural people who are natural sportsmen and women typically, right? Where do you think support for hunting and fishing is going to be down the road when the urban populations say, you know what, we don't really like that kind of thing? What do you think is going to happen? And you think some of these left-wing activist groups that are driving a wedge between sportsmen groups right now, you think they're going to have your back down the road? They're already trying to ban certain forms of predator control and things like that. Tom Opry, can you stick around for just a couple more minutes? All right, stand by.
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
Remember, just to take you back, Hillary Clinton personally, according to these declassifications, approved the plan to smear Trump with the bogus Russiagate allegations. Hillary Clinton signed off on the plan, hatched by the top advisor, to smear then-candidate Trump with false claims of Russia collusion and distract from her own mounting server email scandal, included, quote, raising the theme of Putin support for Trump and, quote, subsequently steering public opinion toward the notion that it needs to equate the Russian leader's political influence campaign with actual hacking of election infrastructure.
Check out the Sean Hannity radio show later today, right here.
Hey, if you're with Verizon, AT&T, T-Mobile, you are overpaying for wireless, period, end of sentence. You're paying for thousands of retail stores that you're never going to go to. You're paying for unnecessary perks that you'll never use. But guess what? My cell phone provider, Pure Talk, they use the same 5G network, the same cell towers. The only difference? They don't charge you for any of the garbage. Instead, Pure Talk will give you unlimited talk, unlimited text, plenty of data, $25 a month. That's real money in your pocket for the exact same service. And guess what? You can keep your phone and your phone number. The switch is simple, fast, easy. Dial #250, say the keyword save now. You'll save an additional 50% off your first month. and you could be switched over in mere minutes. Pound 250, keyword, save now. Make the switch to my cell phone provider, a veteran-owned company, Pure Talk, wireless by Americans for Americans.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With a mix of clouds and sunshine today, we'll see a few afternoon showers and storms developing around the area. Highs around 83 in Bozeman to 93 in the Billings vicinity. For tonight, isolated showers and storms around mainly before midnight. Temperatures will then drop off into the upper 40s, around 50 in Bozeman to around 60 in Billings. Skies turn partly to mostly sunny Tuesday. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm Paul Trombley.
Man, this is a crazy story out of Bozeman, Montana, although not that crazy when you think about how crazy the left-wing politics is there. A female firefighter and medic for the city of Bozeman lost her baby during an ectopic pregnancy, and the city of Bozeman refused to grant her bereavement leave. And when she told them more about her story, they made the policy even worse. Check out that full audio on the Montana Talks podcast on Spotify or on the app.
Montana Talks, where you get the mic. Call in now at 406-294-0970. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
All right, coming up in the 7 o'clock hour, we're going to get back to business with the Big Sky Business Journal. Then Attorney General Austin Knutson joins us live with the latest on the manhunt for the Anaconda shooting suspect. Hey, let's jump right into the phone lines here. I mentioned how Tom Opry is going to be doing a film screening of The Real Yellowstone tonight, 7 p.m. in Circle. Michael in Bozeman, originally from Circle. Hey, great to have you on the phone lines. What did you want to share with Tom here?
Hey, Tom, just a little insight for Circle. Highly recommend the Wooden Nickel. Go for the pulled pork sandwich with the macaroni. It's macaroni and cheese. It's an unbelievable meal for you.
Thanks, Michael. I appreciate it, and I'm definitely going to be hungry by the time I drive 4 hours here from Billings up there to Circle.
It's a beautiful drive, so enjoy it. Take the cutoff through Miles City if you want.
Yeah, or let's see. Yeah, I'm trying to think. What's the other way I take it? Oh, yeah, or you can go through Terry and pop up as well. But, yeah, the Miles City one might be a little faster for you there. All right, Michael, thanks for the phone call here. Tom Opry, you and I were talking during the break. You know, some of these people, they claim to support hunting now, but long term, I think truly they want to just ban hunting, but they're starting with the incremental approach. Well, we don't allow predator hunts on our land, but we're pro-hunting. And by the way, that is the APR. Oh, well, we allow block management. Yeah, on part of your land, but not on all of your land. There are some crazy things going on. California is a prime example of so-called public lands advocates, but yet there's all these restrictions on access to so-called public lands.
Yeah, I know. We saw that also with, you know, say, lead ammunition. You know, by banning that, you make that barrier of entry into shooting, you eliminate it, right? And a lot of people can't afford to spend money on these composites or copper alloy bullets. But, you know, we're seeing the politicization of hunting and conservation in every political cycle. It doesn't matter, you know, you got politicians and parties saying, vote for us and we'll go ahead and ban this or ban that. It's a real problem. Like I said, only 4% of us in the United States buy a hunting license. And even if it's, say, it's 10% of the population, say, is pro-consumptive use in hunting. That means every time we see one of these political situations, whether it be a ballot initiative or a candidate or a party running on a platform that's anti-hunting, we're 40% plus one behind before we even get to the ballot box. Okay, folks, if that doesn't scare the bejesus out of you, you need to wake up because you're not human. But so we saw something over the last couple of years, IP3 in Oregon. It's a ballot initiative. We can have ballot initiatives here in Montana. Matter of fact, we've had them a couple of times to ban trapping.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, which is, again, part of their incremental approach to eventually ban hunting.
But those, even here in Montana, those ballot initiatives got 40, 44% of the vote. In a state that had 25% of, you know, one out of every four people bought a hunting license. That tells me we got a lot of hunters that are anti-hunters. So at the end of the day, though, this IP3 would make it an automatic felony. Get that? An automatic felony to harm any animal, wild or domestic. Now, I can tell you, we know that the cattle industry, pork and poultry, they've got money, they've got attorneys, they can fight this thing, right? You know, nobody's going to affect the food system. But again, 50% plus one wins at the end of the day. And I've been part of efforts to try to bring together the hunting conservation community, just talk. and it doesn't work very well. They don't play very well. I call it the fishing hole syndrome.
Well, because there's groups and there's organized special interests and outside money that wants to divide us, like they want to divide us along everything. Less than a minute to go here with Tom Opry. Thank you so much for stopping in early this morning. What's the biggest reaction you think you're getting from the film thus far?
Well, I think it's this groundswell of grassroots support. You know, it's our ranching community, our farming community, our sportsmen and women, folks that really get the big picture and understand that we need to get this message out to the broader public, need to get there. And I have to tell you, we're continuing this next weekend, and we're going to be in Circle tonight. Friday, we're going to be in Butte at Montana Tech. Saturday, we're going to be in Helena at the Myrna Loy. You know, thanks to Capital City Sports and Western Wear, Montana Outfitters and Guides is helping us on Friday in Butte. And then Sunday, we're going to be in Great Falls. But if you go to shepherdsofwildlife.org, click on the film tour, you'll see where we're going, because we've got shows coming up in Idaho and Wyoming and other parts of the country, even Scotland on the 31st.
I wish I could join you for the Scotland one. Do you need anybody to tag along?
Yeah, you know, I got some bags you can carry.
I mean, I grew up in Glasgow. Why not? You know, it's just a different Glasgow is all. All right, Tom Opry, great to see you. Appreciate you joining us in studio.
Hey, Dad, how do airplanes fly? What's in this box? Is this tree good for climbing? How are babies made? What does this thing do?
Kids are curious about everything, including guns. Talking to them about gun safety in your home is a good first step, but you can do more. Always keep your guns locked, unloaded, and stored separately from ammunition. Safe gun storage saves lives. Learn how to make your home safer at nfamilyfire.org. That's nfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by nFamily Fire, Brady, and the Ad Council.
Plan on flying? In order to board domestic flights, your driver's license or state-issued ID must be a real ID. Learn how to get your real ID today at tsa.gov/real ID or visit your local DMV.